It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law here on the Talk Station. Again, you can call our local numbers, too, with a question. 800-818-2255 is the toll-free, but 353-4674 in Onslow County, or 247-7282 in Carter, Craven, and Pamlico. And joining us this morning is Wes Collins. Good morning, Wes.
Morning, Ben.
How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Getting set for Thanksgiving?
We're rolling into it, absolutely.
Good.
I can feel it at the office a little bit. You know, the week after Thanksgiving is crazy nuts, but the week of Thanksgiving, people don't have their legal affairs on their mind. They have turkey on their mind.
That's right.
Family
right.
And all that. So,
potlucks and all that.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. So, what are we talking about today? We started talking about titling last week.
Right. We did. We talked about really, you know, the conversation regarding titling of assets and how important it is to pay attention to that as far as what assets you own and how you have them titled. And we started that conversation regarding real estate.
Mm-hmm.
There are several different ways to own real estate. I just want to recap that. And then today we'll talk a little bit about other type of accounts like bank accounts, stock accounts, other type accounts, and how it's very important to pay attention to how those are titled. Because, you know,
right.
A lot of folks out there don't really know how their assets are titled, their accounts are titled,
properties. They get surprised later on.
That's right. I mean, they don't think it's something they need to be concerned about, but I can tell you it is very important to pay attention to that, and very easy to change it,
mm-hmm.
In the event it's not titled in the way that is most beneficial to you.
Okay.
So back to the real estate, just briefly, we'll recap that. You know, as far as owning real estate, you normally are going to hold that property either, you know, just individually in what's called a fee simple interest,
mm-hmm.
which is just 100% interest. That's
right. You just
own the property.
Period.
And it's just in my name. Then we get into different types of ownership, like if you're married, tenants by entirety. And the most important issue with regard to tenants by entirety property would be that tenants by entirety property passes by right of survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
So if husband dies, it passes immediately to wife. Doesn't matter what your will says, so on and
right.
so forth. It just passes immediately. A couple other things about tenants by entirety I don't think we mentioned last week would be that it's not subject to a judgment of either husband or wife. And that's very important as well. So if we have a lawsuit pending against husband or against wife, or we have a judgment that is on the books against husband or against wife, then that tenants by entirety real estate cannot be sold, cannot
mm-hmm.
be forced into a judicial sale to cover that judgment.
If the judgment is against both together,
against
though,
both, it can be.
Okay.
Yeah, subject to our exemption rules in the state of North Carolina, which is another program we
mm-hmm.
can talk about. So tenants by entirety is the husband and wife ownership. And then tenants in common would be like 50-50 ownership, maybe brother and brother or brother
mm-hmm.
and sister, or it could be anyone. There could be a friend and a friend. You
mm-hmm.
know, it could be – it's just an ownership interest that's normally 50-50, but it could be 80-20 or 99%, 1%, any percentage.
Right.
But there is no right of survivorship with tenants in common. So that if brother and brother own property, tenants in common, 50-50, for example, and one of them dies, it doesn't automatically pass. That 50% doesn't automatically pass over to the surviving brother.
Mm-hmm.
That 50% of the brother that died passes pursuant to either his will or pursuant to intestacy, the laws of the state of North Carolina, in the event you die without a will.
Right.
So
right.
there is no, you know, right of survivorship with regard to that. Another.
You could contractually uh-huh. have one, couldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, you could have a contract where there is a, you know, obligation to convey,
mm-hmm.
but it's not by deed. It's not
right.
by operation of law
gotcha.
That it then passes.
Okay.
Tenants by entirety, it is by operation of law.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what your will says, passes right on to the
surviving
to the spouse. Right. We have tenants by entirety, tenants in common, and then we have joint tenants with right of survivorship. And that would need to be stated specifically right there, you know,
on
the deed itself. And that is a situation where we have a unmarried couple, or it could be brother-brother, it could be, friend-friend, it could be multiple people. It doesn't mm-hmm. just have to be two. Same thing with tenants in common, by the mm-hmm. way. I mean, you can have 100 people that own 1% each,
Could be children who have inherited property. They might retitle it that way.
That's right. But the difference between tenants in common and joint tenants of right of survivorship primarily is just the right of survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of the owners dies, then the property does pass to the surviving owner or owners
by operation of law
immediately. Doesn't matter what your will says. It passes outside the will.
And it passes proportionately? In other words, if you had four owners and one died, then each one would own a third.
That's correct. That. Yep. Okay. Yep. Good question. Okay. Yep. So that's generally, the ownership interest in real estate. And that's, very important because, as I mentioned last week, there may be some interest in, girlfriend, boyfriend that are maybe in their 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe lost their spouse and they're in a second relationship.
Yeah, they're not interested in getting married again and they want to, but they want to own property.
That's together. Exactly right. Maybe they're contributing jointly into mm-hmm. buying this property, but they want to make sure that it goes to the survivor.
Okay. We have George in Moorhead City with a question for us. Hey, George, how are you?
Great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well.
I'm going to say great program, great information. I got a quick question, mm-hmm. and then I'll just hang up and listen to the answer. What about avoiding probate? My wife and I deed our property to our children, or can we put something, do a deed on our property so that upon our death it'll go to our children?
This is a question that comes up a lot.
Yeah, it does, George. Great, great question.
And if you want to hang on, that's fine, because we may have some other questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Right, if you want to follow up with further questions. Well, we get that question a lot, George, and you mentioned avoiding probate. There's a lot of things that people bring up where they're concerned about transferring the property to their kids, and maybe they want to avoid probate, or maybe they want to make sure they don't lose the property in the event there's a long-term health care nursing home stay. These are the kind of questions that we get. You have to be very careful with regard to that, because if you're transferring the property to your children's name, if you do that, then the property is then subject to the twists and turns of the child's life. So let's say you transfer the property into the name of your children. You and your wife are still living, doing fine, and then one of your children gets into a car accident that they caused, and they get sued, and potentially your property is then subject to that judgment. What if they're in a divorce? What if they have, any of the twists and turns of life? So you have to be very careful about that. That would be the first thing that I would mention to you. Second thing, as far as avoiding probate. Now, if you transfer the property to your children's name, there's those inherent issues that I just mentioned. But I would not at all say that transferring property into their name for the purposes of avoiding probate is advisable. Probate in North Carolina is very inexpensive.
It's not the onerous process it is in some other states.
There are multiple states where we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, for relatively small estates, or at least tens of thousands of dollars to deal with the probate expense and the charges that the state imposes upon the estate.
And that's not true here.
In North Carolina, the max probate fee, I'm talking, if Bill Gates were to die as a resident of North Carolina, $6,000. So that is, that's usually not a reason to transfer the property. Now, for avoiding, probate. Now, one thing I would mention to you, George, that if one of the ideas that you have or one of the issues that you're concerned about would be a long-term health care expense, and we think, okay, we want to really protect this property in the event that, I develop an Alzheimer's or a dementia issue, or my wife does, and we want to make sure that property is not lost, well,
there's other planning tools.
There's a way to set that up. Right, Ben. There's a way to set that up. Depending on your circumstances, we usually use a couple of trust documents in order to do that. And the trust documents really give you the best of both worlds in the way we set them up. First of all, they make the property immediately not countable and immediately not subject to estate recovery. So in the event either one of you had to go into a long-term health care facility, the property would not be an asset that could be counted to make a determination as to whether you were eligible for any Medicaid benefits. And the property is protected immediately. There's no five-year look-back period from any estate recovery upon the death of the person who received the long-term care. And as a side note, you also avoid probate if that's something that you really care about. But the property then passes under the terms of those trusts and not pursuant to the terms of your will. And, it would pass out under the trust to, for example, your children. So really that is the way that we normally deal with that, using those trusts, if that is an issue that is of concern to our clients.
Okay. All right. Great answer. I'll call and make an appointment.
All right. Thanks, so George.
Thank you, George. Again, that's one that comes up a lot. And I know you go into with a particular client's circumstances that
right.
defines the file. I mean, that's very, very different.
Right.
And so that's a good summary, though. But we also wanted to talk about some other titling.
I did, but let me mention one more thing about George. You know, this is an attorney practice issue here. Mm-hmm. When I get a question like that, or mm-hmm. I get, a client coming in saying, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. I had the nicest lady come in a couple of weeks ago. She was from a different state. She and her husband, just really nice folks. And they said, I want you to set up a trust. I want a inter vivos trust.
Right.
And I want you to put this in the trust. So I start asking questions about why they wanted these assets put in the trust. Well, I've just heard that's the right thing to do. We need to put those things in the trust. Well, we don't just necessarily do what the client says to do, because mm-hmm. every particular file and every particular person's situation is different.
And so, every state's law is different. You mentioned they came up from Florida. So
they did, but they were residents of North Carolina now.
Right.
But the long and short of that situation was that, I took a 45 minutes or an hour with that couple, went through their family situation, went through their assets. And at the end of the day, my advice to them was to keep it simple. Don't use a trust. You don't need to spend the money on a trust. Trusts aren't that expensive, but it would be more expensive than what we ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't find a reason for that family to use a trust for them. So, in George's situation,
mm-hmm.
what would be necessary there? Let's sit down. Let's look at the big picture.
Right.
Because we got to see what other assets are, family situations, children. Is there a previous marriage? All these kind of things. And then let's put a plan together based on all of the information.
Okay. More to come in a moment on Let's Talk Legal. You can call in with your questions, 800-818-2255. Good to have you with us on Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning with Harvell and Collins. And Wes Collins is with us today. We also have Jimmy on the phone from New Bern. Hey, Jimmy. Hold on a second.
How's doing today?
There we are. Now we can talk. Hi, Jimmy. How you doing?
Good morning. Yes, I have a question mm-hmm. for your guest. And it concerns a timeshare that we have owned, my wife and I, for about 15 years. And it is in South Carolina. And the folks there, the management company, won't work with us at all as far as, they just won't. And so I was trying to decide, I decided that maybe the best thing for us to do would be to deed it over to my dad, who is 85. And when something happens to him, and we would continue to pay the management fees and everything. And when something happened to him, then, the children, which there are five of us, would just decline the proceeds. Does that sound like a workable plan?
In other words, you want to get rid of this timeshare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was good for a few years until they sold so many weeks that you just couldn't get anywhere you wanted to go.
Yeah. So it's a deeded timeshare. I have one. I'm going to mine next week, by the way, from week 48, which you can't sell, can't do anything with, and so I just go ahead and use it. So.
Right. Well, we would do that, but it's in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Are you really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you like another one?
What week do you have? What week do you have?
I did it to you just for the management fee.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that story. What week do you have, really?
I have week 52.
52. Oh, boy.
one year is Christmas, seems like, and 1 year is New Year.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll just let you guys work this out. I think I'm done for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's working this out.
But, well, Jimmy, that possibly sounds like a workable situation. I tell you, we have had a history of dealing with timeshare issues, I would say more over the past 5 or 6 years than before. You know, I've seen a push in the industry with the timeshares to just really kind of ramp up those administration expenses.
Oh, yeah.
And then kind of pinch people as far as their options of using their timeshares.
Right.
And I have been personally, as an attorney, pretty aggressive with multiple timeshare companies using a couple different tactics that have been very successful over the years in order to unload this without using the fancy footwork that you're talking about as far as conveying to your father and then it passing.
Right.
So I tell you, it's kind of one of those situations where I'd like to see the big picture. I'd like to see your documentation. I'd like to see the correspondence that you're getting from the timeshare company. I'd like to see your timeshare deed. If you were just listening, we were talking about the attorney needs to see the big picture before we talk about what is best for the client. So I would recommend that you give my office a call, sit down with me. There won't be any charge, you know, for that initial consultation for me to take a look at it. And then I think we can come up with a plan, hopefully, to help you and rid you of this problem.
Well, that sounds like an idea. But to be honest with you, I've already been to two attorneys, one here in Newbern and one in Asheboro, My sister-in-law was able to get rid of hers up in Virginia.
Right.
And, but when I called the lawyers in Southern Pines, they said that no North Carolina lawyer could, do this because it's in South Carolina. Is that a correct statement?
Depends on the docket. I mean, no, I don't agree with that. No.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
I think we're interpreting a contract. I mean, it probably is what we're doing. I mean, the issue there is an attorney that's not licensed in South Carolina doesn't need to practice in South Carolina, but it's not like we're going to court over it. So, you know, I don't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
So just call your office and make an appointment.
Just make an appointment and bring all your documents. We'll sit down and look at it. And then hopefully collectively we can come up with a good plan to get you out of this.
All right, Jimmy, write down the number now. It's 726-9050-252.
Okay. 726-9050.
That's it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. We'll have more to come in with Harbell and Collins, Attorneys of Law, right after this. All right. Well, we got onto various titling issues here today.
Well, we had some good callers, and we appreciate those calls and those good questions. We started this conversation today about titling, and we've talked about the real estate titling, and then got into these questions. And we just have a couple minutes left today, so this will pour over into next week. But we do want to just start the conversation regarding titling of accounts.
Mm-hmm. And it dovetails kind of off what we were talking about, the other issue about titling property to your kids. You know, this titling accounts has a similar kind of effect. Sometimes.
Right. So we're talking about checking accounts. We're talking about savings accounts. We're talking about stock accounts. We're talking about, you know, CDs. We're talking about even maybe annuities or other non-probate type assets or assets that usually pass as non-probate, brokerage accounts, those type things, our financial accounts. Mm-hmm. So the different type of titling with regard to that, of course, you can have an account that's just in your name,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. But then when we get into adding people to the accounts, you know, in many cases you may have an account with, say, a spouse that's joint with right of survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar, obviously, to the real property title joint with right of survivorship. And you'll look on your account statement, and if you say, if you see JWROS, that JWROS on the account statement, then that indicates joint with right of survivorship. And what that means is, of course, upon the death of the first owner of the account, it then passes to the survivor. And either of the account owners on a joint account have access to the whole. So that's that. You have to be careful about that, because, you know, you, anybody can take everything out of the account, you know, if you're on the account. We get into, of course, payable on death or time on death accounts, which is basically, it's indicated that there's a certain individual that that passes to upon the death.
You know, one of those situations we'll look into next week, I'm going to imagine, is going to be where you have a widow, a widower who wants to put one of their children on the account to help them pay the bills and things like that. So there's that's one of those.
We don't want to make those accounts joint, and we can talk about that next week.
All right. And again, if you want to find out more from Harvell and Collins, it's on the online at harvellandcollins.com, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City, 252-726-9050.